Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Please be seated. After the Mass today, there's the blessing of religious articles. We are looking for servers who are willing to help us in the serving of masses during weekend and Sunday. Please contact Andrew Kimball or Brian Kimball if you are willing to learn the responses and also help in serving. Mr. Brian Kimball is currently busy of getting married, but he will be back again to help us coordinate the servers together with his brother. And speaking of needing servers, this coming weekend, most of our regular Sunday servers will be out of town. Look in the bulletin for where we need volunteers to help, especially on First Friday and on Sunday. And if you are a member of the parish and are willing to help, please provide that this coming weekend. Although Father McGuire is still recovering from his illness, so pay close attention to the parish email announcements should there be any changes for this week's program, which we will find in the bulletin. So this Friday is first Friday where and we make our best to have the priest available for you for those ceremonies, and the schedule on Sunday is as usual. The epistle of this feast of the Most Holy Name of Jesus is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "Ye princes of the people and ancients, hear, if we this day are examined concerning the good deed done to the infirm man, by what means he hath been made whole, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved." And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. There is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today we especially celebrate the holy name of Jesus. And that name of Jesus, it is truly the sweetest of all names. And why is that? It's because if that blessed name would not exist, there would be no pardon or grace or eternal happiness for us. Our Redeemer, who was born on Christmas, he truly is God. And his name means not only Savior, but divine Savior. Of course, no man could provide salvation for us. No man could redeem us from our sins. So that's why we are in need of Savior, and divine Savior, that is. And that is what our Lord's holy name truly means. When we say Jesus, and when we pronounce devoutly his holy name, we make announcement and recognition that God is our salvation and deliverance. If we put our trust to men, we will be disappointed. But God, who not only loves us, but has saved us, He is our hope, He is our Father, and it is He who grants us safety and peace. So many people, unfortunately, are unwilling to see that it's only in God where they can find safety and peace. St. Paul writes us today that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And it's a very powerful statement. No matter how much people think that they can ignore God or resist God, this is one of the divine truths, namely that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Because make no mistake about it, every man will bend his knee in the name of Jesus. And he will do that at the last judgment, at the latest. If a person does not bend his knee willingly in this life, he will do it unwillingly in the next. When this time and this world comes to an end, our Lord will appear again, but this time not again, not anymore a sweet little baby who is our Redeemer, our salvation, but he will become as king. And in front of that king, there is no one who could resist him. So truly, at the last judgment, every single man who has ever lived will do honor for that glorious king of ours. And if he has bent his knee voluntarily during his life, he will be counted as one of the blessed. And if he has not done so during his life, when he still had a chance, he will, at the last judgment, bend his knee against his will, and then will be counted as one of those not saved. During this Christmas time, we have seen many wonderful examples of those heroic saints who not only heard the word of God, but also did accordingly. We heard about the shepherds to whom the angels appeared. We heard about Blessed Virgin Mary, who also received divine message by an angel, and who became the mother of that sweet Savior of ours. And today I want to tell you about the Magi, namely the three wise kings from the East who did come far away and bend their knee in front of that sweet Savior and lovingly pronounced his holy name. It is truly impossible not to admire the strong and living faith of these three wise men. They were pagans. They lived far, far away from the Holy Land and from the holy nation of Israel. But they had heard about divine prophecy, which they also believed. And from that prophecy, they knew that the Redeemer of the whole human race would appear in Judea, and that his, the Savior's coming would be heralded by a star. And what happened when they one night noticed this star there on the sky? Immediately, right away, they dropped everything and they set off to Judea. What a truly remarkable proof of their faith. They had heard the word of God, and immediately when they saw the sign they were given, they followed that sign. No excuses, no delays, just do according to will of God. And they did this because they wanted to see this divine Savior. They wanted to hear his name, and they want to bend their knee and worship this sweet Savior of theirs. They didn't care about the dangers of the journey or what other people might think of them. They just saw the sign and did according to word of God. So after a long and tiring journey, these three wise kings, they did arrive to Jerusalem, the holy city of David. But there at Jerusalem, their faith would be put to trial, because no one in Jerusalem knew anything about the Savior's birth, as they noticed. It would be they, the pagan visitors from far, far countries, who brought the news to the city of Jerusalem that the Savior had been born. And this news which they brought, it did not awaken feelings of joy, but trouble among the people of God. This might have made them doubt the sign that they had seen on the sky. It might have made them doubt whether this was truly the will of God, or maybe this sign meant nothing at all. But no, the three wise kings, they gave no place to such kind of doubts. And after they had heard from the people of Jerusalem that it would be in the city of Bethlehem, where David had originally come from, then they started to head towards the sweet town of Bethlehem. But imagine that no one in the city of Jerusalem joined them. The Magi, they traveled all alone to Bethlehem. And one might have thought that all Jerusalem would have flocked with them to see the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, though that sweet baby whom they had, the people of God, had been waited for centuries to finally come. But no, even the priests who had told the kings where Bethlehem was, they remained behind. It was the city of God, the great city of Jerusalem, which left it to the Gentile kings to discover this newborn Savior. But as a reward for the king's fidelity, the star reappeared, and it led them to the manger. And there the kings threw themselves on their knees and worshipped this infant as their God and Savior. So, dear faithful, in the name of Jesus, truly is our hope. And in his name, we have the expectation of salvation, the sweet eternity where no sin or sorrow exist anymore. God wants you to go to heaven, and believe me, you will go to heaven. The only thing which you need to do in order to go to heaven is not to put any obstacles to God's grace. Our Lord, sweet Jesus, he suffered everything in order that we could be delivered, we could be saved. He has given us everything we need in order to go to heaven. And whatever we have, even in this world, whatever things which cause us happiness or pleasure, that we have also been given as kind of an extra gift from God Almighty. And from those gifts, we must be eternally thankful. We have nothing of our own except sin. But in holy religion, we see how sweet and merciful God is, because our sins are exactly what he wants us to give him. No reason to worry about what I have done in the past. No reason to worry if this coming and ended year has given us sources or causes of sorrow or something to worry or agonize about. No, our Lord has appeared here to us. He has taken away our sins and promised us that we will be saved. And such a sweet name is our Savior's name, Jesus. In that name and in that name only is the promise of salvation, taking away of sin, and spending eternal happiness with God. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.